I want to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 6. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So this morning is my last sermon to you, my last full sermon to you as your pastor. I'm looking forward to next Sunday as we share the Lord's Supper together. And as Gloria and I conclude our ministry here at Rosedale. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you last words from leaders. And then last week, I shared with you last words from Jesus as he was leaving his disciples behind. And this morning, I want to share our last words with you. Now, our last words don't carry the same amount of weight as the words of Jesus and these great leaders of the past, but nevertheless, we do want to share a few things with you in these closing time of our ministry here at Rosedale. First of all, I want to thank you, or we want to thank you, for your love towards us. We want to thank you for your prayers, encouragements, support, guidance, forgiveness, patience, acceptance of us as peculiar people, for meeting our needs, and for accepting change so graciously over the last 12 years. You have all played a part in our life, and we have loved you for it. Some of you have played more of a part in our life, and some of you have played less of a part in our life. Some of you have been directly involved in our life, and some of you more indirectly have influenced us and supported us and been with us. We've known many of you for a long time, and it's nice that after 12 years, we're still friends and still willing to serve God together. Others have become friends in just recent times, and I'm grateful, we're grateful, and we praise God for each one of you. For me, my time at Rosedale has been a wonderful time of fruitfulness and maturity. I've learned much and experienced fellowship with God, my Father, in a deeper way as the years have gone by. I've come to understand some doctrines more fully and the importance of those doctrines as they have impacted believers, especially the doctrine of justification by faith. I've come to know some important spiritual principles like submission to authority and the importance of leadership in the church. I've learned to teach and preach and lead small Bible studies and to share the gospel more effectively. I've developed courage and discipline in my life. I've learned more what it means to be in Christ and to live by the Spirit. And so I leave with a great sense of peace and joy and fullness in Christ, and with a deeper desire for righteousness and to see truth and justice proclaimed. I have a deeper love and appreciation for the Word of God than I have ever had before, and now a burden to help and support the Third World Church in any way I can in my last days. So it's because of you at Rosedale that I feel prepared to move to my next and likely my last assignment for my master. This morning I want to leave with you a summary of what I have taught you over the last 12 years and of what I feel are most important in the Christian life. So I want to give you 12 very quick, or 13 rather, very quick things that I feel are very important to live a fruitful and solid Christian life. So first of all, and you probably could have guessed this if you would have had to guess, the importance of the Word of God. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned just this morning, I encourage you to read the Bible once a year to get a sense of its history and its persons and its events and teachings, which all tie together as we read the Scriptures, and just get familiar with the many different things in Scripture. Then study the Bible for its doctrines, which are the foundation of your faith, and obey its practical teachings. And then finally, use the Bible as devotional reading that deepens your relationship with God. The aim of the Bible is not to know the Bible. The aim of the Bible is to know God better and to love Him more and to serve Him with all your heart. The Word of God is most important both for the growth of the individual Christian and the strength of the local church. So make the Word of God a priority in your life, every day, and as a church here at Rosedale. And then the second thing, the importance of prayer and spending time in God's presence. Spending time in God's presence and prayer has probably been the most formative practice of my whole Christian life. That has brought more development and maturity and understanding than anything else. So I want to encourage you to spend time in prayer and in the presence of God. I've made this discipline of 30 minutes a day praying for you and praying for a number of things. And I've got the book in the office. It's I think it's like week 213 I've been doing this, and you know, all the times there. Sometimes it's like a continuous 30 minutes. Sometimes it's very interrupted. Make that discipline in your life. Hold to it. It's like, 24 minutes. I got 6 to go. I'm just going to sit here, walk around. I do a lot of walking around, and just think about the Lord. And often He even suggests things in His life. Make that practice. You have that on your calendar for the month. I am going to spend blank amount of minutes in prayer every day. That's the challenge. That has been formative in my life, and I want to encourage that along with the reading of God's Word. If you do that on a regular basis and be obedient to God's Word, you will be transformed. We need to have more times of individual worship to continually generate a heavenly perspective on our lives and circumstances. We need to seek God regularly for grace, strength, insight, and guidance, which is so vital to our relationship with God. Intercession for the lost around us and in this world is critical to the lost coming to Christ. So take time to pray and to be in the presence of God. The Word of God and time spent before God, in the presence of God. If you can go to one place on a regular basis, that's even more wonderful, because that becomes a holy place. You kind of walk into that place and you almost sense the presence of God right there, because that is your meeting place with God, like the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would often meet with His disciples and also meet God, His Father. And then number 3, the importance of knowing and trusting the character of God. Again, very important. The basis of all that God does is who God is in His own being. So if you know the character of God, you will begin to understand why God does things and why He doesn't do other things. So get to know the character of God and then trust that character. God is holy and He will punish sin. That is a fact of the character of God. God's wrath and judgment against sin is the expression of His holiness. We often miss that dimension of the character of God. We need to fully believe that. God sending Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for sin on the cross is the expression of God's love and mercy, another important facet of the character of God. Not only the love of God, but the holiness of God as well. God is good to His children and can be trusted in all circumstances of life, even though at times it may not seem that God is good, it may seem that he has abandoned us. I think I've learned that lesson over the last number of years, and I've probably told you this story about 3 or 4 times already about the goodness of God. Things would go great. Oh, God is so good. Things would go bad. God is so against me. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. Or God is good. God is not good. God is good. God is not good. Well, I decided one day, God's word says that God is good. And I was going to start confessing that in all circumstances. So when the first bad situation came and I started, you know, in a sense, calling God a bad guy, I decided to confess what the character of God spoke. Not this word faith kind of movement. That's not what I'm talking about, but just confessing the truth of Scripture. And it's amazing what it does for you. It doesn't necessarily change your circumstances, but it begins to give you a different perspective on the situation, brings gratitude into the life. And even sometimes the situations, I realized what the value of that situation was and how it turned out. So that's what I'm talking about here. Know the character of God and then trust the character of God. God leads and guides His people. God is sovereign over all the events in our life, even though we may not like them or understand them. God is faithful to all His promises. We need to know with full assurance the character of God, and then we need to fully trust in what we know, no matter what the circumstances and the cost to us. So study who God is and God's attributes, and then fully trust in Him. The Word of God, prayer, the character of God, and trusting in that character. Number 4, the importance of the doctrine of justification by faith and by grace and by blood, the blood of Christ. You knew that would have to be in the top 5, because that's such an important doctrine. We need to learn this most important doctrine of God's justification of the sinner in Jesus Christ. Justification is God's declaration of acceptance by God, because God has forgiven us by the blood of Jesus and imputed to us the righteousness of Jesus. Justification is the basis of Paul's gospel and of the reconciliation that God offers to the sinner. After learning this doctrine and understanding its implications, we need to stand firm in our justification in Christ. What I mean by that is when you fall flat on your face because you've reacted from your old nature into us in a situation, you can moan about it, you can groan about it for weeks at a time, you can put yourself in a depression, you can whip yourself, it's not going to do any good. Justification says you're just as accepted with God after that incident as before that incident. So get up, confess your sin, and move forward. Stand in God's acceptance. Don't accept the guilt that the evil one throws at you. Don't condemn yourself and think you're more righteous than God is. Just get up and believe the truth and move forward. And that becomes the basis for the process of sanctification taking place in our life. Justification and an understanding of that truth is the basis for sanctification that works the righteousness of Christ in us. Learn the meaning of justification and then live by it. Number 5, the importance of an eternal perspective on life. Assessing life from an eternal perspective changes how we value things and the choices that we make in how we direct our life. Living with an understanding that we will stand before God in judgment for what we do here on earth, and assessing the value of what we do in terms of how it will count for eternity, gives a clear focus to our trials, sufferings, material goods, relationships, priorities, and choices. We need more of this kind of eternal perspective in our lives. And I put in your bulletin some of my favorite verses in this area. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. Actually, let me read a couple of those verses for you. It's just across the page here from Corinthians 3, where I just read. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Ain't that the truth? Our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So develop a eternal perspective on life and make your choices in light of that perspective. Number six, the importance of intentional living. For Christians to be strong and fruitful, they need to live intentionally for God and Christ. Christians need to will to follow God every day and in every situation and have a disciplined plan of action. Like a runner, we need a goal and we need to make the effort to reach that goal. You know, Philippians says, "For God is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." We need to live willfully, intentionally in our pursuit of God. Like a runner, we need a goal and we need to make the effort to reach that goal. And that involves every area of our life. I like to think of it in terms of the four F's. I come to you and said, "I want you to bring me your report card next week." I don't want four A's, I want four F's. Faith, family, finances, and fitness. Your relationship with God, all that that entails, your family and relationships there, your finances, and your physical body. And I'm actually going to talk about those different areas in it over the next couple of minutes here. Number seven, the importance of a disciplined mind. I think this is so important too, and we really missed out on this as well. What you think in your mind is what you will become in your life. What you think in your mind is what you will become in your life. God calls the Christian to renew the mind in accordance with God's word and God's character. We need to fight each day to get our minds aligned with God's word, and it is a fight. We need to fight each day to get our minds aligned with God's mind. We need to fight against double-mindedness, which is such a thing, and that example of goodness, one of those examples of double-mindedness. Our self-image should not come from what others say about us, or what the world says is right, or what others have said about us in the past, but from a mind that takes its self-image from what God says. So it's such an important thing. Get your self-image from what God says about you, not what the world says about you. The world's philosophies and values and measures of success must be assessed by the Word of God and not by the standards of this evil world. The mind is the battleground of the soul and the body. I encourage memorization of Scripture. I discourage too much television and movies, and to be very selective in your choices. What goes in your mind goes in your mind. And what your mind is holding is what you will become. Men are very susceptible to pornography, which is a fantasy of the mind. And it's not a victimless crime, as so many say. It affects your view of your wife, of other women, your view of sex, and it hardens your heart in your relationship with God. I would say if I had to change one thing in my whole life, it would be my exposure to pornography as a very young person. That has been such a destructive force. And it's really not just a casual entertainment, as it were. But ladies, I'm not going to let you off the hook either. Ladies, you are just as guilty when you watch soap opera type shows, because this generates romantic fantasies in your mind as well, which causes many relational problems. We just can't live up to those guys. And it's the same kind of mindful fantasy, only women function in a different way. And so their fantasies are driven in a different way. But it's basically the same principle that is at work there. Philippians teaches us, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So maybe a good place to start would be to memorize Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9, and begin to meditate on what these different qualities are that we're supposed to set our minds upon. Let me ask you this question. Where will your mind lead you when the restraints of the church and the law are removed? Where will you end up? You'll end up where your mind is. That's where you'll end up. Fight with all your might for the possession of your thoughts and a pure mind. Number 8, the importance of nurturing a relationship with your wife and caring for your children. Now here I'm speaking more from regret than from practice. I have miserably failed in this area with my wife and with my children, Michelle and Ben. That's why I so strongly encourage young relationships to focus on this area of developing an intimate relationship with their wife and working with making a relationship as well with their children. I just think it's a vital priority from looking from the other side and looking back. Learn to love your wife and your children. I would say that loving your wife and children means far more than you think it means, especially us men. I'm paying the bills. I drop them off at soccer, whatever. You know, and that's about it. There's far more involved in that those relationships than just caretaking, as it were. And so that's an area we need to learn very much. Number 9, the importance of disciplined finances. And here again, I'm speaking more from regret than from practice. Gloria and I have only started budgeting in the last year, and it has made a very real difference in our finances. Had we started budgeting earlier in life, we would have much more freedom today to follow God's plan. And so again, I urge young people to and couples to make a realistic financial plan and stick to it. Don't let the world dictate your financial plan. Let practicalities and the Word of God dictate your financial plan. Make sure you have a component of giving in your plan and learn what it means to be generous. One of the best moves I have made in the last year in my finances was to take the 13-week Dave Ramsey course. And that was life-changing with regard to finances. Just a little late for me, but not for you. Number 10, the importance of a disciplined body. A disciplined body goes along with a disciplined mind. They work together. A person who disciplines their body can also learn to discipline their mind and their whole life. If you take one area of your life and you discipline that area of your life, then you can learn to extend that to other areas of your life. It's a transferable concept, as it were. A healthy body can more readily put God's work into action. I wonder why those dealing with people who have depression do not require a daily disciplined physical workout to induce endorphins which produce a sense of well-being, not to mention a sense of accomplishment as well. To me, any fight against depression should include a component of physical exercise and also of redirecting the mind, according to Philippians chapter 3. So set up a regular exercise program and stick to it. Be careful what you eat. A healthy body and a sound mind formed by God's word will take you a long way. Paul says, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Here's another question. When is the last time you fasted in order to spend time in prayer? Our bodies and feeding our bodies, we feel, are so important. Number 11, the importance of a missional and warfare approach to life as individuals and as a church. God has called us individually and as a church to a mission to make disciples in all the world for Jesus Christ. This requires a warfare approach to life. We are at war in the name of Jesus Christ with the devil and his demons and all his lies for the souls of men and women and young people and children. And we need to attack that situation as if it's an actual war that's taking place. Let a missional warfare understanding guide your choices and use the use of your time and resources. Number 12, the importance of strong godly leadership over a congregation. God calls leaders to lead his people. If you read through the scriptures, God calls leaders to lead his people. It is important that you pray for your leaders, submit to your leaders, support your leaders, and keep your leaders accountable according to the Word of God. Learn to discern between preference and truth. Learn to discern between tradition and truth. Learn to discern between culture and truth. Preferences, traditions, and cultures may change and may not always be to our liking, but these should not lead to congregational disputes. The truth is what's important, not the culture, not the traditions, not the preferences that we have. The truth is what we should fight for and fight over, not these other things. Truth, right doctrine, and right living are what are important. And so may God give you godly leaders that call you to live godly lives in Jesus Christ. Maybe I should pray that they'll even offend you sometimes in their challenges because of our stubbornness. And then the last thing, number 13, the importance of a focus on discipleship in the local church. And I've mentioned this many times before as well. We are called to make disciples in the local church. I have always dreamed of a congregation where there is a deep love for Jesus and a strong desire to be like Jesus in character and action. A congregation that has an all-encompassing biblical worldview. What that means is that the scriptures encompass all of your life, not just Sunday morning life, not just bits and pieces of life like a waffle where there's some biblical worldview in some squares, but it's not an overlapping, encompassing biblical worldview. A congregation that has an all-encompassing biblical worldview that directs every part of their individual and congregational life. Of a local church where healthy families nurture new couples in how to be husband and wife and godly, loving parents. Where people want to learn how to properly handle their finances. Where a self-image based on Christ is learned. Where emotional issues from the past can be worked through to bring emotional health. Where Christians are developing and using their gifts and reaching out to the community. That is what I would like for your future as a local church at Rosedale. What is lacking for this vision or this dream to become a reality is people who wholeheartedly desire this in their life above anything else and who are willing to commit themselves to this vision and then are willing to reproduce themselves in others. And so may God renew all of our desires and give us a long-term focus in this direction as individual Christians and as a local church. So Gloria and I will be forever grateful for our connection to Rosedale Baptist Church, both as members under Pastor Muir and then as your pastor over the last 12 years. Gloria and I want to ask for your forgiveness for those we have offended over the years, for the harsh attitudes we have shown and the unkind words we have spoken, and for any lack of Christian love toward you. May God richly bless you as you continue to love God and serve Jesus Christ at home, in the community, and in Rosedale Baptist Church.